Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. Hope you guys have had a wonderful week. I've had the craziest last couple of weeks. Wow, it's been busy since the last podcast. Oh man, I'll tell you guys all about it in just a minute. But first, I want to say thanks to everybody who's been listening to the podcast. Thank you so much. I love it that you guys are downloading it from either Audioboom or on your podcast platform of choice. It's truly an honor to have so many of you backing this thing up. I appreciate it. And a special shout out and thanks to the Patreon supporters. Intentions were there, didn't quite happen, but I had a wonderful weekend hanging out with some fellow streamers and friends who became family, and we blew it out. It was just crazy because it wasn't like we were going party hardy, but we had some really great times and lots of fun. If you're on Twitch at all, which is where I'm heading, I'll tell you in a minute, you're going to check these folks out. But you can stop by patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and get some bonus episodes of the podcast for just $3 a month. Please feel free to stop in the Patreon messages and send me a question, send me a comment, a recipe, a joke, whatever. Just communicate with me over there and you can have your stuff read on the Wandering One podcast bonus episodes on Patreon. Like I said, just $3 a month to support this podcast. And also, you will have the access to any behind-the-scenes stuff that I put up on Patreon. There's a couple things that I have planned that I want to put up there. So pop on over, say hello. And if you're dubious and you're like, I don't know, try this. 7-day free trial available for first-time subscribers and followers. You can just pop in there, try it for 7 days, see if you like it, listen to the episodes that are currently up, and then decide for yourself if you'd like to continue to support the podcast. While we were just on the subject of Twitch, I also do gaming and art streams on Twitch. Art streams are going to be picking up this month because I have stuff I need to redesign and I've been slacking way too hard. So I'm going to try to hold myself to doing art streams on Sundays. Those will be in the afternoon, trying to set those between 1 and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. But most of the time you can catch me on my normal Monday, Wednesday, and Friday streams at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard, which is right after this podcast drops. So it's going to drop about 3 o'clock Eastern Standard. So if you get a chance, you're feeling a little froggy, want to check out some really bad Baldur's Gate 3 gameplay or some slightly mediocre shooting gameplay, stop on over to twitch.com/linkib. Also, some other folks you want to check out, twitch.tv/queenshutterbug. That's my wife. She also does some streams occasionally, but mostly we'll pop in to do streams for Extra Life for Kids, supporting the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, as well as our friend over at twitch.tv/smalltowndreams, that's dreams with a Z at the end, who is here this weekend. Lovely human being, had a blast hanging out with her, came all the way down from the Great White North to visit with us, and also does lots of gaming, Extra Life for Kids as well. Wonderful human being. Then there's Eliza_GGS. That's Eliza_GGS. That's also at twitch.tv/Eliza_GGS. That's the daughter person and is popping off some streams and doing Baldur's Gate, doing Dragon's Dogma 2, and just generally having a cool, chill vibe. You're going to love it. And last but not least, somewhat infrequent because of a crazy job, but also a wonderful human being and a hilarious person at that, is the homie at twitch.tv/OGCakeBeater, and that's exactly how it sounds. Cake is one of our favorite people in the community and is an awesome Destiny 2 PvP streamer, so if you want to learn how to get good, definitely be watching his videos. And between him and Queen Shutterbug, they also sometimes do raid help as well as PvE help for the special events like dungeons or you know, just the new events that pop up every now and again. The current one, Onslaught, is out now for Destiny 2, and they do a lot of that stuff. So if you get to see OG Cakebeater or Queen Shutterbug on stream, definitely pop in and say hello, as well as Small Town Dreams and Elijah GG's, wherever you find them, whenever you find them. And finally, the Streamlabs store is going to be getting those updates. Like I was saying, been meaning to do it for months. Mojo's been a little bit low, but Mojo's rising, baby. We're going to get back to doing some more art streams, and that means we're going to be updating all the stuff in the shop, so you'll have new designs on the way. So just bookmark the page. streamlabs.com/linkib/merch, and you can check out the merch that's currently available for not only my Twitch stream, but also for Wandering One Studios as well, where I'm going to hopefully be popping up some new designs that I can put out, maybe even throw a couple of t-shirts in there for Wandering One Studios that are a little bit more, how do I put this, fully realized iterations of the Wandering One himself, the titular character. Let's grab a sip of tea and let's get into it, because the tea is hot, and it's hot and good. It's also bad, but it's also good. It's a lot of things. Oh, man. So this week I was going to attempt to do some streaming, but I was like, no, it's been so busy. I'm just going to wait until Wednesday. After the weekend, I took Monday off because I had been driving all over the city, picking people up from the airport, taking them back, running errands, and then delivering vehicles back and forth. That was a fun one. But yeah, I was just wiped out. And after I got home, my intention was to come home. Maybe it'd be a little late on Monday and then start streaming. But unfortunately, the Mustang caught a nail, which meant flat tire. Very unexpected. And ordinarily, this is really not much of a big deal for most folks. You know what I mean? Usually you can jack it up and take it off yourself, which is what I ended up doing. Or you call AAA or some other service and they come out and take care of it for you. However, it was already late in the day and it was getting dark. And I'm like, I got to get a move on. So I went and wrestled this tire off myself. And man, I got to tell you, jacking up the Mustang is an experience and a half in and of itself. And taking the lug nuts off this thing when they've been put on with an air wrench definitely put a little bit of extra strain on this 45-year-old back, arm, and leg combination I got going on here. So by the time I managed to get the donut on there, get it properly inflated, and then drive it very precariously along a freeway, two of them actually, and get myself home, I was just bushed. There was no way I was going to do anything else. I was like, you know what? I'll explain it later. And here I am. But one of the things I was excited for was the Xbox 360 stable of games that I've currently owned and have in my possession, like the physical copies, not just the digital stuff. And I thought, as I mentioned before, maybe I'd go back to doing the Gears of War franchise and shooting them up and finishing some of the older games in the franchise, maybe like Judgment or Gears of War 4, and then lead up to Gears of War 5 through the summer. Well, I went to pop in Gears of War Judgment, but there's this peculiar thing that happened when I went to go and sign in. My controller signs me in almost all the time. I figured, you know, I'll use the one in the living room so I can game with everybody else, and, you know, if they want to jump in, we can, you know, handle this together. But as soon as I tried to restart it, it wouldn't let me log in or create any save data because it said my controller wasn't signed into a profile. Apparently, this is an ongoing issue for Xbox 360 backwards compatible games on the digital catalog, especially. So I went and looked for a couple of hints. One of them said to delete any extraneous profiles that you have that are not yours. So I did that. That did not work. Said to reset your console. Nope, that didn't work. They're like, you can do a hard reset. I'm like, there's no freaking way. I'm hard resetting my brand new Series X console and having to wait it's a long process. Basically, we would end up having to wait about half a day for all of my digital games to get re-downloaded onto the Series X. I was like, you know what? Forget it. So I decided, let's go last ditch resort. You know, usually I'll go to Reddit or I'll go to like a thread or something like that and find a solution, and it usually works. Lastly, if I can absolutely avoid it, is to contact Xbox's customer support, which is a real joke because it's non-existent. All it did was forward me to a bunch of articles that people had either reposted or had already seen in Google searches. And I'm like, none of this stuff works. And they're like, you can call us. I'm like, Microsoft and Xbox, you guys are out of your mind. You haven't had actual phone customer support in years. Now, occasionally you can reach a human being on the line. But the real issue that I was finding out was that, like, a lot of the stuff that was happening was because we had people signed into our Xbox here when they come to visit and play games or whatever. The other problem that we have is they have to also, I guess, re-sign back into their home Xboxes, because otherwise the Xbox that we have here considers their account to now be like a de facto home for them. And so if they never go back to and re-log into an Xbox console, they're just stuck here, which means that we're locked out. So none of the 360 games that I know of yet will I be able to log back into, pick up my old progress, even though the profile's been saved for literally a decade and a half, it seems at this point. I'm just locked out of all of them. I can't create a new save file. I can't start a new game because it won't save the game. I just have to sit down and play the game from start to finish and hope for the best. But then because it's not logged into a profile, none of the achievements I would get would count for anything. So I'm just basically spinning my wheels, having a good time, don't get me wrong, enjoying the game, but I'm just deadlocked out, which is kind of messed up. Xbox, I need you to get it together. Fix your shit. I'm getting sick of this. Minor complaint, but it was still fun. I had a great time. We got to go and check out stuff around the city. Got some eats, had some laughs, played some games. One of those you can see over on Small Town Dreams Twitch channel. Like I said, that's Small Town Dreams with a Z at the end. We played a game called Goblin Quest, which I've mentioned before. That was a hoot. It was a lot of fun, and it was absolutely wild and weird, and it was good times. So, yeah, definitely go check that out, and, you know, keep posted on the Twitch channel, on my Twitch channel, to see what happens and how, if I'm able to resolve this scenario. I'm curious to figure out how I do it myself. You know what I want to talk about real quick before we get into some of the social topics is this whole mess that's happening. We're all fairly aware of it by now between the Gaza Strip, basically Gaza Strip, Palestine, Israel, and now Iran has entered the fucking competition. So over the last weekend, 300 drones were supposedly deployed by Iran, not supposedly, but were deployed by Iran over the Gaza Strip and were shot down by Israel and their allies. And I gotta kind of take a step back on this one because there's some things that I know about the conflict that's over there, and there's other things that I'm not quite savvy enough to really opine about. But Israel's kind of started some of these hostilities with Iran because they attacked the Iranian consulate on April 1st this year. They killed two Islamic Revolutionary General Guard Corps generals and five officers. So the IRGC had some folks at the consulate, and Israel's like, yeah, go get them, and blew them up, killed them. And so Iran was like, oh, we're going to get us some get back. Like, you don't know when, you don't know how, but we're going to get it. And apparently they went and got it. They didn't get a whole lot of damage done. Most of the drones were shot down before they could be of any, you know, use to any ill effect. But I think the real problem is now Israel's getting bold. You know what I mean? Like, it was one thing, and it wasn't necessarily a good thing, but it was one thing when they were attacking their neighbors in Palestine and across the Gaza Strip. Because, you know, they had beef for years, but you're kind of like, you know, this is just a thing that happens. It sucks. It's terrible. But, you know, what are you supposed to do about it as an individual? And even as a government, right? How far do you interject yourself into somebody else's business? But now, with like the support of the United States and various other allied countries around the world, like Israel's like the bully, at, you know, in middle school, who starts stuff and then gets called out, and then he has his mildly indifferent big brother come and back him up for a fight. Like, the U.S. is really only kind of doing this to preserve Israel-U.S. relations. But why? Israel's actively committing a genocide. So many people have talked about this, and actually one Air Force corpsman killed himself over the grief that he felt by participating in the conflict. And I think that this is being used, as a lot of other pundits have said, as a tactic to draw the United States further into the war and provide more military support. And that's a real scary slope for a real scary and slippery slope for everyone involved, because we're already stretched thin on so many different fronts. Like, to be baited into another, you know, globe spanning conflict is just not smart. Also, why are we backing up people who are actively trying to eradicate an entire population? I don't think that that's the move, man. Like, I don't know who really could support it in good faith now. I mean, you're seeing images of children and women being pulled out of burnt buildings, you know, missing body parts, and, you know, just destroyed lives and, you know, property and businesses and infrastructure. And for what? Who's winning this? No one's winning. And the United States is going to have all the egg on its face because they backed this shit up. It's well high time for us to pull away from this and just be done with it. But I don't think that the U.S. is really getting the full scope of what's going to happen. And I think that it's really going to be a bad scenario if we continue to push. But who am I? Just one guy screaming into the void, I guess. Shifting gears just a little bit from international politics and conflicts to ones that are right here, homegrown in the US of A, the hush money trial of Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States, has started this past week. Trump is obviously just bored enough of people trying to put him in jail or take him down that he started falling asleep during the pretrial proceedings. They said he was expectedly just dismissive and kind of disinterested during the proceedings. So part of me, people are thinking like, yeah, he's just sleepy, you know, ha ha, he's old, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know. I've been saying this for a while too. I think the fix is in. And I think that this is all just a dog and pony show to kind of distract us from the fact that we're spiraling, you know, out of control as a nation and our election process is circling the drain. And we've got one, you know, two senior citizens that are running for office, one who's certifiably insane and the other one who's slowly slipping down the back nine and is creeping towards dementia. And neither candidate is a good choice. You know what I mean? They're not what the country would need or really want. But there's a small but vocal majority on either side that keeps pushing this stupid narrative. I just really hope that like this trial does end up putting him away for long enough that Trump won't be an issue or a factor. But he just appears too, like he's just too cool for school, man. Like all this stuff is hitting him. You know, $435 million fine from the state of New York. Now he's staring down the barrel of this Stormy Daniels case. We still haven't gotten to the documents yet, like those documents that he spirited away from the White House. But can't stop old Donnyboy from talking that shit, man. As per usual, he goes to Schnecksville, PA with another rally, and he starts to round up his base with a bunch of half-baked quotes, just outright like lies and tomfoolery. He can't even keep his own shit together. He's just an incoherently babbling sack of flesh. He was quoting Robert E. Lee, a Confederate general. When is that ever the move? Those guys were the losers, dude. You're taking your cues from the losers for your base to be like, you know what? Our guy, man, we got to stand behind him and we got to, you know, he's our president and he'd be quoting General Robert E. Lee just like my grandpappy and my grandpappy's grandpappy. And to what effect? They lost. They lost. History doesn't celebrate the losers, dude. You guys can't help it, though. I guess that's what's up. All right. That's something. He also had this weird rant about the Battle of Gettysburg. And I'm not paraphrasing. I'm just taking a snippet of it. Saying that the Battle of Gettysburg was so much, so interesting, and so vicious and horrible, and so beautiful in so many different ways. The more I hear the dude talk, the more I keep hoping that somebody will eventually just come around with like a chloroform rag, like Bill Burr said, and just you hear a crazy person talking, you're right behind him, you pull your rag out of your pocket, put it over their face, drag them to the ground, put them in a little white, you know, a little white jacket, and spirit them away somewhere. Like, there's got to be a point where people just get sick of hearing him talk and they're like, dude, you are doing way more harm than good. Even watching the footage of the rally was funny because some people in the background were kind of like, is he still talking about this? What is he saying? Why is he doing this right now? Talk about the wall or something. Like, don't do this. You're getting it all wrong. And you're doing it in their home state, which means that this is part of their, you know, social studies curriculum for like local history. So they know that this is a thing that happened and they know how it went down. And you're sitting here just gobbledygooking it up, but can't help yourself. Just got to say something. I'm really curious to see. One, I know that people are going to support him no matter what, because he's an ideologue and they're like, okay, he's also just this step shy of being an actual dictator. And if he gets reelected, we're in for some really hard times. You thought the 4 years before Biden were rough? Buckle up, buddy. It's going to get nutty. I'm not happy about it. I'm not looking forward to it. And I'm kind of hoping that we can steer ourselves away from it. There's so much like just believing shit for the sake of saying you believe something. And like people are so wound up in their own vitriol that they forget to bother to check what they're saying, you know? And I there's like another phenomenon that this has kind of gone around. And like I say, I'm going to preface this by saying a couple of things. One, I do empathize with some of the people who are saying what I'm about to relate to you, because I know that there's a certain time and place for this to be an absolute deal breaker for you. Two, once you do a little bit of self-examination, once you start reading through some actual history, not just what you go to like left-leaning, right-leaning, whatever-leaning blog.com and read up on stuff that reinforces your personal biases, go do some actual research. Look up some factual sites. Go to the Encyclopedia Britannica's website. Go to, I wouldn't say Wikipedia because anybody can pretty much edit Wikipedia. Go to like NPR, CNN, Al Jazeera. Go to Fox. Go to the major news outlets. Pull all your sources together. Aggregate them. Look at all the information on both sides and go, when you start to see the pieces line up, that's where the truth is, because it's usually somewhere in the middle. And this is a popular thing that's kind of sailing around the internet a lot, was if you support blah, 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 or so, then unfriend me, don't bother being my friend, that kind of content. To a certain degree, I do get it, because there are people out there who are being actively harmed, right? If somebody's like, if you're anti-Black Lives Matter, I don't want to be bothered with you. I'm like, all right, I get that. You know what I mean? Black people are being shot by police. They're being choked to death. You know what I mean? They're being victimized and villainized in their own homes and businesses. Yeah, I definitely get that. If you're able to document where the offending party has influenced you or has influence over you, I get that too. And you're like, hey, you know, we'll just take Florida for example. Ron DeSantis is trying to get rid of diversity and equality and inclusionary education in colleges here. The people who are going to be shaping the future of this country, he doesn't want them to know that certain groups of people have been historically and categorically disenfranchised, oppressed, and are being stepped on. Their personal and inalienable rights as human beings and as American citizens are being stepped on. And if you can look at that, yeah, okay. And then somebody's like, I don't care. I still support so-and-so. Yeah, well, fuck you then. I don't want you around me. That kind of energy is dangerous to have, and I get that. And also, when you can see that there's a concerted effort to disenfranchise you, women, for example, let's look at the overturning of Roe versus Wade. That's a simple linchpin moment in our history. That's literally just in our most recent history. Within the last 3 years, so many rights are being stripped away from people of women and people in the LGBTQ community. Like, it's insane. And you can see that there are concerted, pointed efforts to villainize and demonize these people. When you see people being victimized by, oh, your state has made recreational marijuana legal, but people who are in jail for recreational marijuana are still in jail and they're not out? Say something, yes. And if somebody's like, well, I think they should stay in jail. Well, you don't want that kind of person in your life. That makes sense. But there's a certain point where you kind of go, I don't know that this is really the move. You know what I mean? One of these things was recently, within the last like month or two, it's come up a lot over the last couple of years. But it's a point on which I think a lot of people are so wildly informed is the whole debate over Chick-fil-A, because people don't really research anything. They just hear a thing and they run with that forever. You said that once? Cool. I'm not fact-checking shit, as Tom Segura would say. I heard that. You said it. I believe it. It's gospel. They never think. They just react. So if you look at what actually happened with Chick-fil-A, you'll understand and you'll learn to realize that for a very long time, Chick-fil-A would fund organizations that were actively running conversion camps for people who were gay, lesbian, trans, and they were trying these other charities that they were supporting were supposedly Christian charities, but were running these horrible campaigns to demonize and to marginalize people in the LGBTQ community. And they were like, oh, we really didn't know. We were just going on, you're Christian? We're Christian. Let's help each other out. In 2019, they made a huge policy shift where they said that, you know, not that they wouldn't support any more Christian-based charities or groups, but they were working towards a more what they called focused sharing initiative. So now they work to combat youth homelessness, to fund youth education, and to combat hunger. Those are three things I think that are fairly banal and just benign in general that no one can really be mad at. Hey, we don't want to see kids on the street. We don't want kids not to be able to read. And we don't want anybody to have to go hungry. Those are some basic, very much like what would Jesus do kind of things that I think we can all get on board with. And having known that they're turning the corner, because they had said in one of their marketing things is, we're trying to branch out into more markets than just being here, you know, in the, you know, South and the Southeast. And knowing that there are different people with different backgrounds and looking at how our impact has affected the communities that we're currently in, we need to make a good faith effort, turn this train around and start getting back on the right track. And so showing people, if you want to show people God is love, you know, and doing it through the ministry of food, then when you go on the back end and you're like, our charitable donations consist of, and people are looking at your list and they go, wait a minute, these guys actually, you know, help fund Ghanaian or, you know, African death camps for gay people, which is not the actual example, but it's kind of close. A couple of those charities were funding, like I said, conversion camps, and were supporting groups that were funneling money to politicians or local leaders who were actively exterminating gay people and, you know, people in the LGBTQ community. And they were like, no, you can't have that on us. You know what I mean? Like, that has to stop. So they're making a turn. And I think that that's an important thing to look at too. Like if you yourself can change, and if you are different than who you were 10, 12, 5 years ago, if you're a different person today than you were at this same time last year, and you can make those changes, why can't somebody else change? Why couldn't a company change their core ethics and go, yeah, we don't want to be that anymore? We don't want to be associated with those types of ideologies or those types of people. I think it's a stupid approach to just take one statement that somebody said years and years ago and believe that that's all they ever will be, that's all they can ever become. Because it invalidates the idea that people can change, which means it also invalidates the idea that you can change. It's a really core concept of human life that we all grow. There's a dynamic nature to the ebb and flow of our lives, right? Well, if you can't allow someone else the ability to change and flow, why should you have that chance? One good turn deserves another, right? And I think it's really frightening when you see people who are so hard-line that they just expect people to remove a part of their lives or something they enjoy, or to like crush their memories of their childhood or whatever, just so you can have, so they can have your friendship. It's a dangerous thing to think. And I know there are people out there in the LGBTQ community that I know personally who have said, like, you know, I grew up on Chick-fil-A. I didn't know all this stuff about them, but damn it, I love their food. You know what I mean? I love the service there. And I understand that. I've been to Chick-fil-A before. I love the food. I love the service too. Only reason I really stopped going to Chick-fil-A, just putting it out there, was because I had this gluten allergy come up and I couldn't eat the fried chicken biscuit anymore in the morning, man. It was a heartbreaker. When I found out about the other shit, I was like, oh, okay, dodged a bullet there. But then I did a little bit more reading and I was like, wait a minute, they switched that up, didn't they? Shouldn't we be giving them a second chance? Shouldn't we maybe ease up on the people who do eat there? I mean, I don't know the right answer, but that's my answer, is I think if they can change and I can change, then maybe we should be a little bit more lenient, a little bit more forgiving and understanding. Again, this is just my opinion, and I can't like speak on behalf of anyone else, not especially not on behalf of a corporation the size of Chick-fil-A. But I do think that like when you tell people that they can't enjoy shit, you know, just because so-and-so did a bad thing, like Michael Jackson, you can't enjoy his music because he touched kids. Well, I wasn't there. And to date, he's never been convicted of that shit. But you mean I got to throw away Thriller? You know what I mean? I can't listen to, you know, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough anymore. That whole catalog is just dead to me. I'm not allowed to enjoy that. And all the years and years and years of enjoying the music of Michael Jackson is just gone. I don't really care much for R. Kelly ever, but I remember having some good times listening, you know, to Bump and Grime when I was a kid in school. I didn't know what the fuck it meant, but I mean, I just knew a smooth groove when I heard one. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I mean, it's hard to separate an artist from their art. And I know that some people are able to do it easier than others. And I've been able to do it to a certain extent, you know? But I think telling somebody that I don't want to associate with you anymore because you like this, well, you know, if you start scratching the surface of anything, you're going to get to some dirty shit somewhere. especially when you're looking at like a corporate entity or like a popular celebrity, even a person. There are people that you know right now who are your friends, you love them, probably even somebody you're in a relationship with, that has said or done some horrible shit to somebody in their past that nowadays they wouldn't even dream of uttering that. But if you ran up against that and that was their past, would you still hold that against them? I don't know. It's just a peculiar concept that I've seen happening lately. And I get where, people are upset about J.K. Rowling and the Harry Potter franchise. Like, that's another one. That came up a couple years ago when the Wizarding World of Hogwarts video game came out. People were flaming anybody who played it, bought it, enjoyed it. They were roasting them. And I'm like, wow, dog, really? It's like, I know that J.K. Rowling is a volatile figure. And she's absolutely leaned into her whole TERF branding, right? For those of you who don't know, TERF stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. These are people who believe that the only real women are biologically born women and that trans women can't be women. And I'm not here to preach on either one of those topics. I think that J.K. Rowling, if she believed that, she could have just kept her fucking mouth shut. I mean, but then she doubles down on it, so it makes her a real piece of shit for that. But here's the other thing too, when you look at it, those are her beliefs. She an old white lady. What do you think an old white lady was gonna think? Like, hi, this is Sharon. They used to be Steve, and she's gonna be like, fuck that, that's still Steve. No, you don't get to decide that for somebody else. You don't get to decide that somebody is or is not just because of how you feel. That's a very childish, I'm taking my ball and going home, you're not invited to my birthday party kind of approach, Because it turns on its ear after a second. Now I want you to walk with me on this one, because there are people out there who are actively doing real damage. Assholes like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Marco Rubio, fucking President, ex-President Cheeto, Governor Abbott from the state of Texas, the Supreme Court of the United States. These are the real dangers to our society. You have local and state politicians, people who work in your city government, people who work in your state government, who are actively making laws that affect and damage your life. To the best of my knowledge, J.K. Rowling has never opened a conversion camp. You know what I mean? She's never called for the demonization and the, murder or torture or, imprisonment of trans people or gay people. As far as I've been able to research over the last couple of years since this all became a real big thing, she's never done any of that shit. That's not saying that she gets a pass for being a hateful, person when she demands that people apologize to her because they don't believe with her views. No. Because on the same way I'm flipping it to you folks, on the left or whatever, on the more liberal side, I'm gonna flip it on the people on the conservative side too. Because when you start to inflict your values on someone else, especially when it has nothing to do with you, doesn't affect you, your life, your money, your family in any real palpable way, but then you ostracize those people if they don't conform to how you think, you're bordering on fascism. No matter which way you slice it, what side of the political spectrum you're on, you run into some real sticky wickets there. And I'm gonna say this because it's not gonna be popular, but I think that if somebody, and I know lots of people who are like this, especially younger folks who grew up on Harry Potter, and who enjoyed the whole Wizarding World, I've loved those films. I'm not a Potterhead or anything like that. I just go watch the films every year when they released on Christmas or I'd rent them on DVD or whatever. And be like, oh, that was a fun little romp. It's fun to watch those movies. You tell me now I gotta burn my entire DVD collection of the Harry Potter films? Why? Just to be your friend? Like, she got my money already. I got. You know what I mean? And I'm supposed to just now cast aside my enjoyment of that world that I've already invested in, I've already paid for, because you're mad? That don't seem right or fair. I couldn't see myself asking someone else to do that for something that doesn't actively. She's not actively hurting me or anybody I know and love. Is she a piece of shit? Absolutely. Is she a hateful old white lady? 100%. But Ron and Hermione never did no shit to me. So I don't feel like it's really fair for me to be like, hey man, I'm not allowed to enjoy this thing because the person who created it is an asshole. And you telling me I can't enjoy, I can enjoy it at the expense of our friendship and our relationship feels very one-sided to me. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's not a popular opinion, but it's, I don't think that it's so weird to think that like somebody, especially like younger generations who've grown up on this, let them make their own decisions which way or the other, man. How do they treat you? How do they treat you? If somebody's like, man, I fucking love Harry Potter, man. Like some people I knew got married, you know, at the Harry Potter experience and stuff like that. Some people I know formed groups to go and visit and dress up in their robes and stuff like that and drink butter beer, you know, eat the jelly beans and candies and stuff like that. And they're just having a good time. You know, I know that people are like, the money goes back to J.K. Rowling. The money's going to somewhere, somebody somewhere, no matter what. Pick a thing you can enjoy, and over a long enough timeline, you're bound to hit somebody dirty. I was a huge fan of Overwatch. I was a big player of Overwatch. I tried to get in the Overwatch League, for crying out loud. Then come to find out that Activision Blizzard CEOs and higher-ups were having weird sexual parties and abusing their employees and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, ugh, I don't want to be associated with that. And part of it is like, I'll just delete this, destroy this, whatever. Then I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? The only thing it's really serving to do is to disenfranchise the people who actively made something that I really liked. The higher ups and the CEOs, they have some influence, sure. But there's a lot of creative people who weren't doing all that nasty shit and who are now probably either out of a job or feel embarrassed that they worked for this company without knowing some of the stuff. And even if they did know, they're like, well, where am I supposed to go? You know what I mean? Especially going through the pandemic, man, jobs are tight. Money's tough. How am I supposed to navigate this crumbling video game development landscape and still find a job that I can feel comfortable with? And sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And I'm not saying that there's a right or a wrong answer to this. I'm just postulating a theory out here for us to all kind of take in, roll around, and, you know, maybe be a little bit more measured and reasonable in our approaches. Because I think that at the end of the day, you know, I'm more looking at the person's heart. Patton Oswalt has a great bit about this. If you guys know me, you know I love stand-up comedy. But I also think comedians are kind of like social philosophers to a certain degree. And they kind of illuminate some of the darker corners of our psyches as a society that we should be looking at. And one of his things is like, you listen to someone's heart. How do they treat you? It's like, because the evil people know all the right words to say. They know all the right things to do to make them seem good, make them seem, you know, like they're on your team and on your side, but they always have some kind of sneaky secret agenda. And I think that if you really look at the people who are enjoying these kinds of things, whether it's, you know, Michael Jackson or Harry Potter or Chick-fil-A or whatever, at the core of their being, they're probably not bad people. They probably are going to be on your side and at the ballot box and walking down the street with you holding a sign if something that affects you comes up. But if they decide they want to go to a march with the Harry Potter robes on, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, you're here for Black Lives Matter, but you're wearing a Harry Potter shit, but I'm trans or I'm gay and I don't like you because of that. We got to be mindful about how we're navigating those social interactions, because at a certain point, just like I've said before, when you don't care about other people's rights being taken away or eroded, eventually it comes down to you. And again, to reiterate, not that J.K. Rowling's a good person, not that she deserves your fucking money, but if you've already got the fucking robes, right? Wear them. You know what I mean? Wear them with the intent to say, hey, I'm trans or I'm gay or I'm bi. I wear this stuff because I remember the memories I had with these characters and the enjoyment that I have with my friends and family around it. And fuck J.K. Rowling, because whether you think we do exist or not, bitch, we're here. That's probably a more powerful message. I would actually be stoked to see that tack being taken, where people go and create their own fan-made shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's in the vein of, but it's not licensed by, right? Do that. Way to take something back from somebody, right? Pull a Taylor Swift. Oh, you want to take my stuff and use it for some other ends? Nah, I'm taking it back, homie. I'm buying it back. I'm going to rewrite this shit. I'm going to revamp this shit. And it's mine. And now, no matter what you thought before, you can't take this away from me because we've made it into this thing. Maybe that's the right approach, right? Take something that's been, you know, that's been funded or produced by the bad guys, so to speak, reclaim it on your own. Make your own robes, make your own wands, you know what I mean? Make your own Hogwarts house. Flip the script on them, man. Take that tack, you know what I mean? And she can't take that from you. It's like, no, it's not from your world. It's just inspired by it. This is the wizarding world where we actually, you know, believe X, Y, and Z. We don't cotton to what you want us to do. So that's why we're not doing your thing. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm kind of just spitballing ideas here because I hate to see people lose friends and family members and whatnot over something that there could possibly be a solution for. But if your solution is just to cut people out without really examining what's going on behind their, you know, their outward looks, look in their heart, look in their mind, talk to them about it and figure out what's the deal with this. Maybe we're hurting ourselves in the long run. And again, I'm not super wise about this kind of stuff, but I think that this deserves examination at least, instead of just a complete tabula rasa of you like this, then you're fucking out. You know, I had to have these same conversations with people who are conservatives in my family. I'm like, why do you think this way? Why is this the move for you? Do you see that this hurts other people that you say you care about? Okay, well, if we can work out some kind of compromise and come to some kind of understanding of how to navigate this, then that's cool. But if you're just, you know, hardlined on your stance, I can't do that. I think that's probably a healthier approach for all of us. And again, like I said, not saying that I got an answer. I'm just kind of positing theories and throwing out like ideas because I just want to see us all try to do a little bit more, you know? Be a little bit more understanding. Be a little bit more compassionate. Be a little bit more kind. And be a little bit more intelligent in the way that we use our words and our platforms and how we exercise our beliefs and our thoughts and opinions when it comes to dealing with other people. It's something that doesn't come easy, and it definitely requires a lot of work and also self-examination. But I think that it's a worthwhile exploit. Which brings me to like, it's an aside here, because I actually had a little bit of a, a thorn in my side over this. This is a very, very local niche kind of thing. And I'm going to go into saying that, like, I know that this is going to be hella unpopular, but I also got my own feelings, and this is where I'm going to get to share them. A local cinema called Sunray Cinemas has been put up for sale. I think really what's happening is that the property that they've been renting for forever is currently coming up to the point where the owners are like, yeah, it's just not profitable for us anymore. We've got a more lucrative offer to build an actual parking garage in what's called the Five Points area of Jacksonville. And the people who own it are like, we're going to take it. And by doing so, we're going to take Sunray away. Now, the building's being, like I said, being targeted for a public parking garage. Real quick point of fact, Five Points needs one. I was talking to my mom and my wife one time when we were driving through there, trying to find a place to park so we could just sit and have lunch. And I was like, you know what? If I opened a parking garage on the north and the south ends of this place and just ran a shuttle service from there, I could make myself $1 billion inside of 3 years. It would be so lucrative. I wouldn't even have to charge high rates. All I'd have to do is just keep it clean, safe, and make sure that people didn't pay a stupid amount of money for it. And you could be, that could be a millionaire within inside of a year just because there's so little parking. It got to the point where like you look at it, and it's such a perfectly located position that it would offer that service to hundreds of people every day. And, you know, maybe you should look at like, I don't know, working out something with the landlord. I don't know how to put it. I just think that the parking garage could be good for everybody in the area, the residents, the merchants. It's less traffic. There's increased visitation into the area because you don't have to park 3 miles away to walk in or whatever, or take the bus to get to where you're trying to go. But also, I got my feelings about Sunray. I bought tickets to go to a premiere there, and I was trying to get in. I left early because I like to get early to places when I can. I like to get early to movies, especially because I like to watch trailers, maybe grab some snacks, sit down and get comfortable. And I drove around for almost the entire half hour that I had planned to spend getting into the theater, trying to find parking. And ultimately I had to leave because there's no place for me to safely park my vehicle, or I wasn't gonna get towed or maybe get run into or something. because it's just not a, the area's not conducive to, you know, street side parking or even like simplified, you know, hey, we just don't have to worry about our cars parking. So I called this theater and I was explaining the situation. I'm like, hey, I've been driving around here for almost half an hour. I can't find a spot. I just want to know if I can either get a refund for these tickets or maybe get like a, you know, a rain check pass so I can come and see something else, you know, or a gift card, something. And they basically told me to go fuck myself in so many words. I emailed them and they were just like, yeah, we just don't have anything for that. We're not going to do that. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Because it's not my fault that I couldn't find a parking spot. Go look outside. If you want to look outside and stand in one, I'll drive right over there. But if until then, like, I'm out the money, just nothing. Just got no solution at all. You're not even willing to make a move at all. And ever since then, it left a bad taste in my mouth. It would have been my first time ever to go visit there. And as a result of that interaction, I vowed to never go there again. And I never set foot in their doors. Not once. And so as much as I feel for the people who work there and the people who've enjoyed Sunray over the years, fuck them. I don't really have any sympathy for the owners there. And they're crying, we need to make money. We need to get this, that, and the other. I hate to say this, man. I really think the place needs a parking garage more than the theater. You can relocate somewhere else. Take the money. Reopen Sunray in a different location with better parking. I'm down to go visit and give you another shot. In the meantime, in between time, bye, Sunray. Sorry for your luck. And to the people who work there, this is nothing against you. I mean, I'm sure that you work there, you enjoy your job. People who enjoyed Sunray Cinemas and been there, the movies, whatnot over the years, I hate it for you. Again, I understand there's memories and whatnot attached to it. And that sucks. It's unfortunate. Hopefully they take the money and rebuild the thing somewhere else and maybe treat the patrons there a little bit better. Or at least be nicer to me. Shit, I was trying. I was giving you money and you got my money and I got nothing to show for it. So I just never could understand that. And it really left a bad taste in my mouth. And I'm always trying to support local business wherever I can. But Sunray really shit the bed on that one for me. So good luck and vaya con queso, as my friend Ronan would say. While we're talking about movies and whatnot, I want you guys to know this is going to be a very spoiler-free review. It's just a broad strokes review. I finally got the chance to finish the new Fallout television series on Amazon Prime. And wow. Wow, is that good. Like, I'm not going to get super detailed on anything, but I just wanted to hit a couple of main points about the show and why I think you should be watching it. First of all, if you're not familiar with the Fallout series of video games, go and do yourself a quick study, watch a YouTube video or two, maybe hit their wiki and look at what the Fallout games are about. Essentially, the idea is that this mega corporation builds these things called vaults in the event of a nuclear apocalypse. It's a futuristic kind of bent on 1950s America. And so the nuclear holocaust does happen. The people who can go into the vaults, the people who don't are just kind of screwed. And the games take place in this world, this nuclear wasteland of America, right? First of all, the production design for this show deserves an A++. Everything from the look of the vault dweller suits to the interiors of the vaults themselves, to the world as it's populated and built out, the scenery, the vistas, the costume design, the prop design is absolutely top-notch. It's brilliant. I mean, even the small details they get right, like little things in the world, like a cereal called Sugar Bombs looks exactly like the packaging that you would see in the video games. The television sets are built like the television sets in the games. The bolts on the walls of the vaults and the interiors and the doors, it all looks just like the games. It's so wonderful. I can't praise it enough. Secondly, the music. Now, Fallout games are known for their eclectic music tastes, and pulling music from that era and putting it into the video games gives each game a distinctive vibe, but also kind of plays to the region of the world in which the Fallout game in particular is being cast or presented. And the music in this is no different. A large portion of this is set on the Pacific coast, so a lot of it's in California and whatnot, and it fits the vibe so well, and it's paired up with the actions and the scenes that happen on the screen so well, it's immersive. And you'll notice it if you've played the games before. You'll be like, oh, I remember that song from this place. But it doesn't get to the point where it's really, it doesn't intrude on your ability to believe that it's what's happening or that this could possibly be playing on the radio at any one given time in the world. The casting and performances are absolutely top notch. I mean, the cast was insane. So Ella Purnell plays the titular character, Lucy McLean, and she's just so believable, and her character progression feels natural and feels warm and inviting. Walton Goggins has an amazing role. Walton Goggins is one of those underrated actors who you see him in a bunch of stuff, and you don't know where you remember him from, but then you see him, you're like, oh, who's that guy? Who's in that thing? Brilliant, brilliant. Aaron Clifton Moten is another one who is a big linchpin of this series, and his ability to portray a character that's at the same time pitiable but not entirely likable it's intoxicating to watch, because you just see somebody being pulled in so many different directions, and then just watching them, just watching his character arc was amazing. Moises Arias, this guy, man, I know I've seen him in a dozen things. And then again, somebody I couldn't tell you where I'd seen him from. Brilliant. Brilliant. Almost chilling performance. Kyle MacLachlan plays Lucy's father, Hank McLean. If you've seen him in one thing, you've seen him in a million things. Just brilliant. Michael Emerson shows up. Johnny Pemberton. Zelia Mendez-Jones, the list goes on and on. People that you didn't expect to see are in this film or in this show. And you're like, wait, they're in here? You've got to be kidding me. Where they come from? I mean, it's a huge cast. It's a beautiful cast. And everything that happens around it is just so well crafted. The writing is actually, I'm going to give this like so the casting gets an A+. The performances get an A+. The writing I'll give an A-. Only because there are some portions of the show that play very heavily to the way the games are written. And the games also play into a little bit of the naivete that people would have if they had been locked underground for hundreds of years, then had to come back up and reclaim society. And also some of the knowledge that would be lost without the kind of vast interconnectivity and communication that would normally be existing when, you know, satellites haven't fallen out of the sky, you know, the telephones don't work anymore, you know, like if you weren't able to communicate as effectively or as quickly and efficiently, lots of things would end up getting lost. So the games play into that a little bit, where some of the writing is intentionally awkward or stilted, or just you go, why would you say that? If you're not familiar with the games, that might fall a little flat for you. But if you're familiar with the games, it will definitely take you in and keep you immersed. So I'm giving it an A- because it does lose some points, because it will lose some people at certain points. And as far as the faithfulness to the source material itself, I'm giving that an A because it is incredibly faithful to the source material. There are lots of great Easter eggs that are pulled from the games and from the world of Fallout in general. People who are well-versed in the history and lore of Fallout will catch a lot of this stuff. People who are just familiar with California will see a lot of things. And so it also wraps you in with the ideology that's presented by the games as a whole. And it's tied into the writing, the performances, and everything. And in that regard, it's very faithful to what the source material is, where it's a commentary on the human condition, on capitalism, on the nature of human interaction, war, interpersonal relationships. It hits all those different marks, and it is very side questy in a certain way that a Bethesda game generally is. Like, there's a critical path that you could go to get from point A to point B, but there's all these cool little side tracking kind of things that happen along the way. And I said that on purpose. If you watch the show, you'll probably pick up on it. Interesting story arcs. It gets an A as well because all the characters seem to have at least some point of interest for you, and you kind of notice that there's like an underlying motivation behind each one. Nobody really feels flat, although some characters feel like they aren't as well-rounded as you would hope for, but they're really just kind of there. They're usually secondary or tertiary characters that are more to drive the narrative than they are to influence the overall story. They're just basically, essentially, just like a video game, like the video games themselves, they're a choice on the dialogue tree. And you can't help but think that if you're watching the game, if you're watching the show and you're familiar with the game, you know, there must have been like five different options here. And if they had picked option three instead of option two, would this played out differently? So I like the way that was written in that regard. Overall, if I had to rate this anything, I would give it a 9.5 out of 10, which, excuse me, that caught me off guard, is nearly perfect. Some people have compared it to The Last of Us, and it's a fair comparison. But I give this a little bit higher ranking than The Last of Us because they made no real changes to core lore points of the Fallout world, at least not anything that you would know from playing the games. So it wasn't like they changed anything that was fundamentally true or accurate to the story. And in so doing, they didn't retell the games, which is a thing that I find is often a failure of licensed video game properties, is they try to retell the story of a game because it's a very easy thing to do, is to, oh, this game was made, let's just retell it in story, you know, in live action form. And that has its pluses and minuses, but it ultimately ends up falling flat. I've always said this when it comes to doing a video game adaptation. If you're going to do it, either you go completely shot-by-shot recreation of the video game, or just play the video game. Because I don't really get why people are like, it's different than what I played. Well, you played it, so you what? You want to see that again? Just go play it again. Why are you going to spend money and time to do this when you could do, you already spent the money once, just go play the fucking game again? Doesn't make sense to me. This one, they take a little bit of the lore and sprinkle it over a new story with new characters and invest you in a certain way that it feels adjacent enough to the game that if they had made like a downloadable content pack for the game and you played it and it was actually this series, you wouldn't feel cheated. And you also wouldn't feel like you spoiled any other sections of the game either, but rather that they referenced them in a way that made sense. I also like the fact that they dropped all the episodes at once. And I have this debate with myself and with other people about episodic content when it comes to a streaming service versus all the episodes dropping at once. But I like that they dropped them all at once too. I think for Fallout and because of the absolute rabid nature of the Fallout fan base, this was probably the right choice. I do think that there is something to be said for dropping something episodically every week, particularly when it's something that's as broad sweeping a story as Fallout. And the reason I didn't really care so much for it being done with The Last of Us was because they basically just kind of retold the game. And we already kind of know what's going to happen for the most part. So even though I haven't played the games, even I knew enough about the story that I was like, oh, that's a little different. Or that didn't happen quite that way. Or, yep, that's exactly what happened in the game. And I never felt like I was being drawn in as much, but I did enjoy the way that they recreated the world. I think that Fallout made the right choice, though, by going like, we're going to drop it all at once. You guys know it. You love it. This is going to be one great taste. It tastes great for everyone. And I had a blast. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was super excited. And I had the opportunity, again, to, like anybody else would, to space out my viewing. So I could watch like two episodes at a time here, maybe two episodes here. Last night I watched like four episodes and kind of cleaned up the series, but it was totally worth it. And if I had chosen to like just maybe watch like two episodes a week, it would have been just fine. And I would have finished the series a little closer to when season two comes out, which thank whoever it is out there who made this decision. They have already greenlit season two before they even got it through their first week of being released. So super excited. Fallout on Amazon. Absolutely beautiful piece of television to watch. Take a weekend, take a couple weeks, take a month, watch the series. Let me know what you think. Send me a message through Patreon at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Let me know if you agree with my review or not. I'd be interested to read what you have to say. Super excited to do that. And let's wrap this up. So again, streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. If you want Wandering One Studios merch, whether it's shirts, mugs, stickers, whatnot, if you want some LinkIB merch, that's all there on the website. And those designs are going to get updated over the month. I'm looking forward to actually doing the art streams and taking some of my ideas and putting them out there for y'all to see what my plans are. Very excited for that. And also, again, check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/linkib. Game content 4 days a week for the most part, except for the weekends when I have people fly in to visit. And again, special shout outs to Queen Shutterbug, Eliza_GGS, OG Cake Beater, and Small Town Dreams with the Z at the end for a wonderful, wonderful weekend. It was absolutely gorgeous, and I loved it. Can't wait to do it again. Again, I just mentioned it, patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. If you want some bonus episodes, go there. Use your 7-day free trial if you're not sure about subscribing, but it's only $3 a month and it does support the podcast. So I'd really appreciate it if you felt like it was worth your while. If not, you know, keep it in your thoughts, maybe share it with a friend. And I appreciate that. And all of you, whether you're listening to this on Audio Boom, Spotify, Podcast Addict, you know, wherever you catch this, whatever platform you're listening to it on, thank you so much. You guys make this an absolute pleasure, and I can't wait to bring you another episode very soon. In the meantime, in between time, be good to one another. Take a moment to read some stuff before you flame on. Drink some water, and I'll catch you guys a little farther on down the road. Peace.